Goodness. And it's fitting today that we talk about praying in the middle of the service. You know why? Why would it be fitting that we talk about prayer in the middle of the service? Maybe that's what we're going to talk about today. Prayer. You know, one of that it's prayer for some of us is easy. Prayer for some of us has just been one of those things that they just latch on to. Prayers for others of us is hard. Because you don't always feel just super spiritual and want to pray, right? Sometimes we pray, but we don't really have confidence that we're praying right. And sometimes we pray just because it's something that we do. This morning, John addresses prayer in 1 John chapter 5. And I said last week that we would probably finish 1 John this week. That's not going to be the case. So whatever I say one Sunday the next, you know, sometimes you can take that with a grain of salt, okay? We're going to talk about prayer this morning, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13. I know we kind of ended up there, but verse 13 is really important, talking about confidence. And John wants to show us the relationship between our intimacy with Jesus and the effect that intimacy with Jesus has on our prayer life. Because it does. It has a major effect on our prayer life. And if you think about how people write letters or they write different things, hopefully how many of you are good writers? I'm going to put my hand down, but you think you're a good writer, and so as you write, you have a natural progression to your point, right? And your point is your big idea, and it's the kind of the climax of your paper or letter or, you know, whatever it happens to be that you're writing, and then all of a sudden, you're done, right? And then you kind of, if you're preaching, you come to the big idea, and that's the climax of the sermon, and then you apply it. Well, John is kind of coming to the end of his climax here, and as he talks about how intimacy with Jesus and the relationship that it has to love, loving with the love that God loves with, and loving our neighbors and obeying God, doing what He wants us to do, and how that prayer is just a natural thing that flows out of that confidence that we have in Him when we're with Him. And so if I were to go back here, and you know, since we've only got a few short weeks here, today and next week, I don't think I can stretch 1 John out any further than next week, but you never know. Anyway, talking about intimacy, right? Sitting at the coffee shop, like you might do with your friend, or maybe the coffee shop is not your place. Maybe it's the lunch table, or if that's not your thing, what is your thing? You know, you think about it that way, and how that we sit and we're kind of close to Jesus, and that's what we've been talking about throughout the whole book of 1 John here. And so we finally get to this idea of prayer. And I'm in Revelation. That's not going to work for this. But 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13, says this: "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have in toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to the death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death." And so that's where we're going to be today. Just right there in those few verses from 13 to 17. And he starts off this whole passage by saying, look, I'm writing these things to those of you who believe. Why? So that you may know that you have eternal life. Right? I want you to know about this intimacy with Jesus Christ. I want you to know that you can indeed have a close, personal relationship with the creator of this universe. The one who made you, the one who died for you, the one who ransomed you, the one who is now sitting at the right hand of God, who is there making intercession for us day and night. This person, Jesus Christ, he's our friend. You know, sometimes we think, you know, who is this Jesus? And we put all these great big thoughts and names that he is, but we forget that he is for us. That we forget that we can have this intimate relationship with him. Yes, we fear God. Yes, we fear him. But we are also near him. And in the confidence that we know that we have eternal life, that we have this spiritual life here and now that is called eternal, this abundant life, this victorious life that we can take part of here and now, and we'll continue to experience it. For those of you in Revelation, I'll just go ahead and say in the new heavens and the new earth, and I won't even say heaven. On the new earth, okay, we can experience that now. And based upon that confidence that we have, based upon that assurance that we have that eternal life, we pray. Look what it says. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know it. I'm confident in it. And this is that confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I want you to think about that just for a second. If this is the confidence that we have in this life, this eternal life that we experience, and as we grow closer to Jesus Christ, we become even more confident. But this is that confidence. This is how that plays out. It says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I want you to think for a moment the immensity of God. Think, start throwing all those omni words out, okay? You know those omni words when we study God? Omni, presence, God is everywhere present all at the same time. Omni, omniscient, God knows everything possible and real. Omnipotent, God is all-powerful. He created the universe. Now think about that just for a second, okay? God is the powerful being in this universe. I'm not even going to say most, okay? Assuming that there's more. God is the powerful person in this universe. He is the one. He is the one who makes things happen. He is the one who intervenes, praise the Lord, he intervenes in this life. You don't believe me? We have proof of this, even within our own body. You know what I'm referring to. Our God works. You know, when when Elijah faced the prophets of Baal, he mocked them because they have a God who doesn't work, a small g God who doesn't work. Do you remember as he was waiting for their God to answer by fire, he said, oh, maybe you need to call out or he can't hear you. He might be on a far trip today. Do you remember that? Or maybe he's asleep. Ring some bells or something. And they yelled and they cried out all day long and they cut themselves and Baal did not answer by fire. And all that Elijah did was pray and God answered by fire. He works in this. He works with us. You've seen it in your own life. Once you start thinking back to the things that God has done in your life specifically, where he has taken you from and brought you to, the opportunities he's allowed you to have, that is the God that we're talking about. He's immense. He's powerful. He can change things. But right here, it says he listens. Are you ready for that? Because when I think of coming close to Jesus, okay, I think I'm just going to come up here and I'm going to sit and I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to not be confident, and I'm going to sit here and let Jesus talk to me and tell me what I need to be doing. But that's not what this passage says, is it? This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's an amazing thought. See, our God is big enough to pay attention. To pay attention to you and me individually. You can pray and talk to God face to face, person to person, like a friend. Or like a loving father, as Romans chapter 8 says. Or we can call him Abba, Father. That term that Paul uses is a term of relationship. Of fellowship. Of closeness. We have that ability to go to God. It says here, that if, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, now, so the next question is, okay, I get that, but what about this will part? How do we know God's will? What are we talking about here? I want you to think back to context. Context is king, okay? One of my Greek professors, He was my Greek professor, but he was better at Hebrew. I don't know. But his thing, always, no matter what we were going through, he'd look at us and say, what is this right here? And remember, context is, and everybody go, king. Context is king. What are John's major points? As we draw close to fellowship with him, How do we act? We obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, right? He just got done saying that in the first part of chapter 5. His commandments are not burdensome. We obey him. And what are the commandments specifically that we're obeying? What's the great commandment? Well, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Okay, that's the first commandment, right? Okay. The second commandment is like unto it, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. All right. So is it God's will for me to love him? Okay, good. Okay. Yes. Is it God's will that I love my neighbors? And specifically in John, he talks about the brethren. Okay, those of us who are born again. Is that true?
Yes,
thank you for being emphatic. Absolutely. That is God's will. It is God's will that we obey his commandments. It is God's will that we love him and learn more about him and come to know him better. It is God's will that we love other people. And remember, love is not a ushy-gushy, fuzzy thing feeling, okay? That's not what we're talking about. Love, with the love that God loves with, is an act. It's a verb, and it has shoes on. Okay? Sometimes it wears gloves. Love does stuff. Okay? Now, yes, we are to do that. Now, so we know that's God's will, right? So we're here because we're doing God's will, right? Because that's what closeness does. You know, if I'm going to meet with Nick or I'm going to meet with Stephen, you know, I'm going to talk with them and we're going to, if we get together and we're friends, there's going to be something that we talk about. There's going to be things, you know, probably not the Hawkeyes, but it's okay. We can talk about Denver, right? Woohoo! No. But there are things that we do what? That we talk about. There's ways that we, our relationship grows closer together, right? We have things in common. Nick's not going to do something mean and nasty to me if he wants to be my friend, right? We're going to do things that don't offend each other. Yep, that's probably the wrong place to sit, Nick, if you don't want to be used as a... Oh, sorry, just teasing. I'll try to use somebody else next week. All right. But as we think about this closeness that we have with Jesus, okay, the natural inclination that we're going to have is to do things in his will. Don't you think that's natural? Yes. It says, if we ask anything in his will, he hears us. Right? Huh. So, when I am close to God, I'm relying on him for what he does for me. I'm looking at loving people. I'm obeying him. I'm in his will. And if I pray that God would help me, get this in the right spot, if God will help me do those things, what's going to happen? He hears, doesn't he? Does God like to do his will? Yes. Absolutely. Does God like it when we pray for those things that are in his will? Yes. So, if I'm here with him and I pray in his will, guess what? He hears. He acts. He responds. Now, doesn't that make you feel blessed? I was going to say important, but I was like, nah, that's not quite the right word. Because God hears and answers your prayer when you pray for things in his will. And specifically in context, we're talking about loving God, loving others, and obedience. So, let's just apply this for a moment. God, I have a problem with this. Please help me. You think you're going to get help with that? Yeah. God, I have this friend. They need help. Please help them. Or, Ah, here's even one even better. I have this person that needs to know the love of God. Will you help me love them with your love? What kind of an answer to prayer would you get from that? What was that word you just used? Profound. Thank you. Can you imagine the things that God can do with your prayer in His will? Because He responds. He hears and He answers prayer. Let's read the rest of that real quick. And we know that He hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to answer your request just like that. That doesn't mean that God is going to answer your request in the way that you think they need to be answered. You are praying according to His will, and you're praying according to these things, right? So, we wait and see what God will do. You know, this is not just a formula. Start checking off lists and say, okay, God, now I want that new car. I know it's got to be in your name. Or now I'm going to buy a lotto ticket, God. No, that's not what we're talking about. You remember that that ask, seek, and knock passage in James, talking about asking, not asking, and then asking in the wrong way because you'll conceive it upon your lusts. Okay? Those are the things that God doesn't answer, or God says no to. But when we're praying for loving God, loving others, those are the things that He works in. Those are where we're going to see these answers to prayer that are going to be absolutely amazing. God loves to hear that. Then, he says this, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him. So first of all, we've kind of investigated and we've kind of seen what God wants from us for prayers. Okay? He doesn't care if we have an awesome handle on the English language, hallelujah, because I know I don't. Okay? I mean, it's don't laugh at me, Joe. You know, there are times when you pray, when you hear people pray, and you're like, oh man, I wish I could pray like that, right? God knows you, and God wants to have that intimate fellowship with you, and He wants to listen to you. And when we pray, if we're concerned about our closeness to Christ, and we're supposed to be loving other people, guess what we're going to be concerned about? Their fellowship with Christ. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now you're crossing a line. Right? Stay out of my business. Oh. That's not how we're supposed to be. Oh, man. In the youth group, we've implemented some rules, some things that they can expect. And, you know, because kids like to act up and they kind of have some of that unbridled energy going on. And so I tell them, you know, if we have problems reaching our goals, I'm going to give you a warning. You know, and I tell them a warning can be anything. I can look at you, say your name, I can say stop that. That's number one. You get a second one, and our second rule is what, Roger? We take them out, but we send them out with an adult who gets in their business. Why? Because we are concerned, not because of their behavior, but because of their relationship to Christ. because they're of their focus on the other kids in their group. They're not caring about the other people's relationship to Christ. And so our plan, our purpose, is to get in their business. What's going on in your life? And so we should be, as a church body, we should be in people's business. Okay? And I'm not saying this is, okay, I'm not saying that we need to be gossiping, okay? We need to be aware of other people in our own congregation. And we need to be talking with them about their spiritual life. Okay, discipleship process here, folks. There's a back and forth. And I know it gets personal, and I know it can get uncomfortable. And it goes both ways, okay? Just remember that, it goes both ways. But this is what God wants from us, okay? This is the ideal, that as we come closer in fellowship with Christ, we're also paying attention to what else is going on with other people around us. And it says, if we see a brother doing what? Sinning. It says, if we see a brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. Okay, now we have this whole leading to death and not leading to death, okay? The idea, so all sin leads to what? Death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? And even in a sense, spiritual death, all sin leads to physical death at some point. Right? You agree with me? That's what happened when Adam sinned. He died physically. He died spiritually, he died physically. But some sins don't lead to an immediate death. Right? Yeah. Some sins can lead to an immediate death. Like violence, right? Yeah. Like drug abuse, right? But some sins don't necessarily lead to immediate physical death. Like pride, arrogance, and lust. Right? Yeah. If we see a brother who is sinning and not walking to their death, literally, what does it say? Pray for them and God will give them life. Pray for them that God will give them that life back, that fellowship back, that they work it out. God is concerned with people, right? God is concerned with their sin, right? God is concerned with Christians and our sin, right? Absolutely. And as a part of that discipleship process, pulling people aside, let me show you how Christ has taught me to walk. Building those relationships, we come to the place where we say, you know what, that brother's gonna, they're sinning, they're out of fellowship with Christ. You know what God says about that? He says, pray for them. And when we pray according to God's will, what happens? He answers us. Now, there are other sins that do lead to death in the Bible, right? Immediate death. What happened when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit? They died. What was happening in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the church in Corinth, and people were dying? You don't know? They were taking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ unworthily. And I believe that the context, the 1 Corinthians and being unworthy has to do with how they were treating one each other. You see, they would have these feasts, and they had cliques or factions in their church. And so they'd all meet it over at somebody's house, and there were certain people that were welcome to be, you know, in the in crowd. And they were probably the more wealthy people in the church or whatever, and they kind of formed their own little thing, and they say, hey, I brought the brats, okay? I get to eat the brats, and my friends get to eat the brats, and you can't! And the other person who walked in, who says, well, I have brought the drinks, and because you won't let me have a brat, you can't have a drink. I'm serious. That's what was going on in the church of Corinth. Stuff like that. And because of those divisions in the church, because they hated their brothers, and they didn't love their brothers, they were guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They were guilty of separating those people whom God said, I love you, because you believe I saved you and made you a child of God. Interesting, isn't it? People died over that. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Okay, talking physical. He says, if you see somebody walking right into their death, he says, I don't say that you should pray for that. He doesn't say that you shouldn't pray for it either. What he's saying here is somebody's walking into their death, and you pray for them, you can't expect a positive answer. You can't necessarily expect a positive answer from that. Sometimes people sin, and they sin, and they sin, and they sin. And eventually God says, you know what? I'm done. Just come on home. I think that's what John's talking about here. But there are sins that are not unto death that affect people's fellowship with Jesus Christ, and those are the things that we should be praying for. So, sometimes we feel like prayer can be tough. It's this thing I have to conquer, a thing that I'm supposed to do, and I don't know if God really hears me anyway. But John here has just told us that because of what we know about our eternal life, that we can have confidence in him. And this is how confidence works itself out. That when we pray in his will, he hears us. He responds to us. And when we pray for a brother who's in sin, he responds to that. It may not work itself out in the way we think it does. It may not work itself out as fast as we want it to. But God responds. And so we get to look and watch and wait to see what God himself will do. Will you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fellowship that you give, the grace that you give. And I thank you most of all for the intimacy that you want to have with each one of us. And how that as we grow closer to you, and that we learn to obey and deepen our relationship with you, that we should be concerned about others, that we will love others, and that we will be able to pray for them. And we thank you that you hear and answer us, that you are the great God who made the worlds. And you created the power of the sun to heat us. And you made all things for us. And yet you even take the time to listen to us. Help us have confidence today that we can ask anything according to your will. I pray that if there's somebody here today that is just struggling, that they would pull somebody aside. Maybe they would look and find one of the members of the prayer team or one of the elders. Lord, and I just pray that you'd help them to get help. Lord, that you would comfort and you'd work. I pray also that as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, that there's nothing holding us back. There's no sin against a brother that we've encountered that we need to get right, Lord, that we've taken care of it, that we've shown you that we love each other. And if there is sin, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take care of that right now. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.